to meet the men from the ministry. We present Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler in The Men from the Ministry, a weekly tribute to the men of our government service. Discreet men who will never pass on a wild rumor. What each keeps under his hat has usually nothing in it. In Whitehall's General Assistance Department, Richard Lamb is involved in a problem of bookkeeping.
It's a problem, Mildred. I don't know where to keep my library books.
Yeah, the office is getting a bit cluttered. You know, we'd have more room if you threw out your stuffed vulture.
Throw out Oscar? Oh, I couldn't.
Mr. Lammy's hideous. He's all hunched up with those hooded eyes and that long, scrawny neck. You'd go a long way to find another like him.
Morning to all. Mildred?
Oh, I don't know, though. Morning, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Yeah, morning, ma'am.
What don't you know, Mildred?
Hey?
Hmm?
Oh, where to put Mr. Lamb's library books, sir?
Oh, I see, yes. Well, why don't you clear the top of the filing cabinet, too? All these little glass bowls with bits of wet sponge in them.
They're government issue.
Well, I know, but you only want one. And they're intended for sticking stamps, not growing mustard and cress. And all this junk. Why do you keep that broken egg timer in the shape of sooty?
It only cost me ninepence.
Yes, I'm not surprised. Every time he turns sooty over, the sand pours straight out of his ears onto your papers.
He just won't be told.
But some of this junk is useful. I mean, there's my ivory letter opener.
Yes, yes, it'll come in handy if we get any ivory letters. You hear that, Mildred? Ivory letters, you see. Oh, dear me. Go and make the tea, Mildred.
Righty-ho, sir.
Yes. Well, now, what are these library books you've got to?
They're all about the wonders of the human body, man. Did you know we're 98% water?
Not all of us do. Sir Gregory Pitkin is 98% gin and tonic.
It's a marvellous thing, the human body. As I understand it, each one of us is a sort of parcel, all full of muscle and bone and squidgy bits. Not being too technical for you, am I?
Oh, no. I know a bit about these things, too. Yes. Oh. For instance, if all your interior piping was laid out in a straight line down Whitehall, do you know what the result would be?
I'd be dead.
2 miles. That's what. Or was it 2 yards? Anyway, it is surprising, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Hello, Lennox Brown.
Pitkin here. What are you doing at the moment?
Oh, just straightening out some internal things, Sir Gregory.
What about that job I sent you last week? Finish it yet?
Job? Last week? Oh, yes, almost, Sir Gregory, almost. Mm. Yes, yes. What job?
The Inland Revenue job.
Ah, Lamb's got that under his sooty right now.
What?
Yes, under his scrutiny right now. Yes.
Gosh, mark my words, Lennox Brown, the sands are running out.
Oh, yes, so they are.
I've never heard such nonsense. You take me for a perfect fool, Lennox Brown?
Oh, no, Sir Gregory. None of us is perfect.
You haven't even started on that job. Now get on with it.
Oh, dear, so we won't be put off, you know. Pass over that large box file, will you?
Right, old one. What's inside it?
A large box. Here we are. Full of invoices and statements of money paid out by government departments. We've got to go through all of them.
What for?
Well, to make sure that the people who received the money declared it on their income tax returns.
I see. We're going to be petty, nosy Parkers.
Oh, no. Well, we're going to be public-spirited, selfless, dedicated, idealistic nosy Parkers. Right, come on, let's get on with it. Payment to Ancro Aircraft Corporation for the TSR-3 strike aircraft, £100 million.
TSR-3, did it ever actually go up?
Yes, to £200 million. That's why they cancelled it.
Well, they paid their tax. It's stamped. Mm. Next item?
Knightford's Halfpenny paid to Amalgamated Brass Foundries for 1 regimental button. I say, that's a bit steep, Knightford's Halfpenny.
They paid the tax, though. It's stamped.
Time for tea again. Oh, Mr. Lamb, why are you lying on the floor with your feet up on the desk?
It helps me concentrate, Mildred. The blood runs from my feet to my head, you see.
Well, I don't see how a head full of foot blood can help you concentrate.
Well, Mr. Lamb has more room in his head than most of us, Mildred. Oh, dear, pour the tea, will you, dear?
Oh, yes, sir.
The human body is full of amazing things. For instance, did you know my appendix is only half an inch long and serves no useful purpose whatsoever? It's in this library book.
That's a funny place to keep your appendix.
Oh, I don't know. A lot of books have an appendix in them. Appendix, you see, Mildred. In the book, it's at the...
Oh, that'll do, Miss Murphy. Shut the door behind you.
Whitehall's Bernie Winters.
Oh, no sense of humour, that girl. Old Rudge used to study the human body, you know. Only his own, mind you. Couldn't get at anyone else's.
Rudge at the Board of Trade?
Yes. He held the theory that wearing wool next to the skin rotted the brain.
Mm. I can see his point. I mean, sheep do it, and they're pretty stupid.
Anyway, come on, let's get back to work now. What's next?
Well, there's a statement here for, let me see, it's a bit faded.
Yeah.
£240 in respect of 36 guns.
Oh, what company?
Nathaniel Tweedy, gunsmith, 2 Cheese Lane, London EC1.
Oh, wait a minute. Tweedy. Ah, now we've no record of income tax being paid on that sum. I think we may be onto something here.
Shall I send him a letter?
No. Sir Gregory wants results. We'll go round and confront this Tweedy fellow. They're all the same, these armaments manufacturers, living off the fat of the land at public expense.
Tea, Mr. Smart?
Very kind of you, Mr. Tweedy.
I'm afraid there's no milk and there's no sugar, but the tea bag's only been used once.
Much?
Oh, well, I bought them to celebrate...
Business. As your lawyer, Mr. Tweedy, I have to point out that your affairs are in a very bad state.
So are these chocolate fingers. They're all mildewed there. I'll just go and put them down the,
This is no time for levity.
Well, I'll put them in the dustbin then.
Sit down, Mr. Tweedy. Do you realize that something very unpleasant is staring you in the face?
You mean you?
I mean ruin, bankruptcy, disgrace. You'll simply have to demand payment of money due from your customers. I mean, look at this one, for example. You're owed £90 by Lord Dogsmuir.
What? I can't demand money from me betters. It's against nature. He's a lord, he is. He's kissed Her Majesty's toll.
Yes, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't settle his bills. And here's another. £75 owed on a shotgun for Sir Eustace Cruddy.
Ah, I remember. A large bore.
I'm sure he is. And it's time you made him pay up.
Never. A gentleman's word is his bond. They'll all pay eventually.
Yes, but then it'll be too late. You'll be out of business.
Good afternoon. This is Tweedy's the gunsmith's, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Now, don't forget, Mr. Tweedy, you know my views. Think them over. I'll be back later on. Excuse me, gentlemen.
Yes, of course. Now then, my good man, we're here about some guns.
I see. Well, what about these here rifles, then? Have a look down that barrel.
I say, steady on. Please, don't point it at me.
Well, they're quite cheap. I was going to put them up.
Do what?
Put them up.
Do as he says to. He was obviously expecting us.
Don't shoot. I'm on your side.
I'm only showing you the gun. Why have you both got your hands up?
Eh? Oh, yes. Exercise, you know. Yes. Turns up the... yes. Now, look here. We're from the ministry. You are Nathaniel Tweedy, are you not?
Nathaniel? No, I'm Matthew Tweedy.
Then fetch Nathaniel immediately.
Oh, that'll be difficult.
Difficulties can be overcome.
He's dead.
Oh, yes, well, most difficulties can be overcome.
Dead, what a cunning trick. Just to get out of paying income tax.
Income tax?
Yes, on the £240 mentioned in this statement. I expect you're liable for it now.
Let me see that, sir. I'd better check this in the ledger.
They'll go to any lengths, some of these people. How long's he been dead?
About 300 years or so. Here's the entry. I don't think I'm liable for income tax on this. For one thing, this statement appertains to 36 flintlock muskets we sold in 1610.
Oh, yeah. Still, I mean, a debt is a debt no matter how old it is.
And income tax wasn't invented then.
Well, that might be a consideration.
And not only that, according to this ledger, the government never paid the money in the first place. It's still owing.
Oh, yes. Well, perhaps under the circumstances, we can be lenient.
Yes, but don't let it happen again, that's all.
Yes, exactly. Right, come along, too. Now we've put the fellow in his place, there's a little tea shop not far from here. The afternoon needn't be entirely wasted. Sit
So I put my foot down with a firm hand and gave this Tweedy chap a piece of my mind.
Oh, why did you let him off then?
Oh, there were technical reasons. We bent over backwards to be flexible.
Yeah, if you're going to bend over backwards and put your foot down with a firm hand, you've got to be flexible.
Yeah. Actually, that paper shouldn't have been in the file at all. It was a few years old.
Oh.
Morning. Morning.
Oh, come on, Ethan.
Morning, Ron. You're later than usual.
Quite, yes. The train, you see. I dropped off.
Cool. It's a miracle you weren't injured.
What? Oh, no, Mildred. Oh, Mildred, please. I dropped off to sleep.
Oh.
Yes. It's the rhythm of the wheels that does it, you know. It's that chickity-boom, 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 chickity-boom.
That's funny. My train wheels go more sort of alakazam, speckensy deutsch, levy to star.
Oh, mine goes shrumpty-jack,
excuse me. This is General Assistance Department, isn't it?
Oh, yes. For a moment, I thought it was Paddington Station.
Well, you see, we're in training for... what can we do for you, Mr...
Smart. Simon Smart, QC. I'm Matthew Tweedy's legal representative.
Oh, well, come through into the inner office. Yes. Ah, that's the idea. Now, sit down, won't you? You know, you remind me of someone, Mr. Smart. Yes, the face. It's familiar. Yes. Who could it be?
I'll just move my stuffed vulture from the chair.
Ah, that's it. Oscar. yes, quite.
Now, firstly, gentlemen, there's the matter of the monies due on the 36 muskets ordered from my client's firm in 1610. Prompt payment would be appreciated.
We're not paying you £240 after all these years.
Ah, yes, I understand your feelings, gentlemen. However, if you'll just sign this acknowledgement of the debt...
No. Out of the question.
Oh. Well, in that case, there are other matters to be considered. I have here a writ of technical malfeasance and conjury.
By God, there's not many of those about.
There's quite a lot my client can sue you for if he chooses to, as any solicitor will tell you. Yesterday afternoon, you did willfully trespass on his bonded property, thereby engrossing his ancient lights.
I don't remember doing that.
He may insist on heavy damages for conspicuous barratry and displacement compounded by mispersonage. Unless, of course...
Yes, I see. Well, perhaps we ought to sign your bit of paper.
Ah, yes, well, it's purely a technicality. Ah, no need to wade through the small print.
Oh, very well, yes. Well, then perhaps we can get back to our planning.
And you can get back to your soliciting.
Yes, right. if you'd just sign there on the dotted line...
I see... There we are.
And now you, sir, if you'd sign as witness just here.
Just here. Righto.
Right. Now, if you're quite finished, Mr. Smart. Excuse me. Yes. Hello?
Don't sign anything.
Pardon, Sir Gregory?
There may well be a legal shyster named Smart calling on you today.
Yes. Funny you should mention that, Sir Gregory.
Well, it's about some old bill we didn't pay. Now, I've been on to our legal department, and they say we're all right, as long as we don't sign anything. We mustn't admit liability at any cost. Understand?
Oh, dear.
I expect that was your superior. I sent him a copy of the document you signed, just to forestall any claim of habeas in veritat.
You've gone quite white, one.
Yes. Yes. Mind you, it's a lot of fuss about nothing, really. I mean, after all, the government won't be liable for much. £240. We spent £200 the other day on new casters for all the Ministry of Transport's armchairs.
Yes, and they moved so smoothly that the minister insisted on having safety belts fitted. That cost a bit more.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, if it comes to the worst, we ought to be able to find £240.
Yes, indeed. Of course, that's just the capital sum. Hmm? As it says in paragraph 2, there's 350 years of compound interest plus penalty clauses. Your actual debt is now a little more.
How little?
£3,109,492.07.
And you, Thomas...
However, my client is prepared to be magnanimous.
Oh, thank heavens.
He'll settle for a flat £3,000,000. Payable in 7 days, or we'll sue.
£3,000,000! Oh, I don't know what Sir Gregory will say when you tell him.
Well, he already knows the amount. What he doesn't know is that we've admitted liability.
Don't fancy telling him that.
Perhaps we won't have to tell him. Perhaps we can raise the money ourselves.
Oh. What do you suggest we do, too? Raffle your stuff, Vulture?
Well, it's a wrench, but...
All right.
We could have a bring-and-buy sale here in the office.
Yes, and I'll get Aunt Primrose to knit one of her car cozies for it.
Car cozies?
Well, they're really tea cozies, but they're inclined to run away with her.
Tombola?
Oh, do you think he could help? What department's he in?
Now, just a moment. Steady on now. Look, you're not being realistic. You're not being practical about this, are you? Now, here's my plan. Now, as you know, Sir Gregory is just about due to arrive on his monthly surprise visit.
Oh, yes. The unexpected check on our office accounts. Mm. He always comes at 2:30 on the last Friday in the month.
And that's today.
Exactly. Now, once he's heard our expenditure and signed the chit, you see, it's his responsibility. Now, here's what I'm going to do.
You're
going to
get him drunk with the brandy from the first aid cupboard.
Oh, too, please, give me some credit for some subtlety, will you? No. My scheme is this.
Ah, Lennox Brown. Just thought I'd pop in unexpectedly and check over your office account.
Oh, what a surprise. Yes. Mildred, put the kettle on, will you? Sir Gregory's here. Sir Gregory.
Your chair's all ready, sir.
Thank you, Lamb, thank you. Now, what expenses have you run up this month, Lennox Brown?
Well, here we are, Sir Gregory. Item one, one box of paper clips, 2 and 9 pence.
Yes, all right.
One typewriter ribbon, 6 shillings.
Yes.
One HB pencil, 10 pence.
Yes.
Quantity of flintlock muskets, 3 million pounds.
Yes.
One box of rubber bands, 2 and 11 pence.
Yes. Just a moment, Lennox Brown.
Oh, dear.
2 and 11 pence for rubber bands? That's a bit steep, isn't it?
Well, Sir Gregory...
And what was that item directly before it?
Muskets. Sir Gregory, yes, £3 million.
Go! Grief, you blundering fools! You did sign that for!
Well, we can explain.
Ah! Yes. Aha! And now you're trying to get me to take responsibility. Oh, no. No, I don't want to hear any more.
But, Sir Gregory...
No, you've got yourself into this. You get yourself out.
You're not
to pay out a penny. And another thing.
Yes, Sir Gregory?
In future, you'll buy cheaper rubber bands.
Well, Mr. Tweedy, since they haven't paid the money, the summons has been served on them. The case will be heard on Tuesday.
But I don't feel entitled to all that money, Mr. Smart.
Oh?
It's legal jiggery-pocus. That's what it is. And hocus-pokery, and piggery, and air. Are you going to put me on the stand?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, but even if we win, we'll pay. The government, that's who, yes. And where do they get the money, eh? From the taxpayer. That's me. That's me. I'm the taxpayer. I can't afford to pay me £3 million.
Nonsense, nonsense. It's not like that at all. You'll be guided by me.
But I'd be suing myself.
Rubbish. Look, Mr. Tweedy, why don't you go and, look for more documents to substantiate our claim? Yes, that's it.
What? You mean go through all them old papers in the cellar? I'd be buried down there for days. I missed the grouse shooting season.
You're splendid. Yes, you do that.
Well, and the flubber trapping and the air coursing.
It'll be a great help, believe me. Meantime, I'll prepare our case.
Yeah.
No doubt, they'll be doing the same. Probably got the top legal brains in the country working on it.
Yeah, and Lord, it isn't that. I should like to see
them. I say, one, I've discovered the cunning legal rules that may help our case.
Oh, yes, what is it?
We plead guilty.
I begin to see a snag in me fighting this case personally.
A snag? What's that?
I've got you as my assistant.
No.
You should have hired proper lawyers.
Well, Sir Gregory said we mustn't spend a penny. That puts us in a difficult situation.
Yes, quite. Still, you know, with the help of all these law books from the library, we should be able to hold our own.
Yes, I must say, some of these laws are a bit archaic. For instance, did you know that it's illegal for maidens to flaunt their wimples on a Sunday?
Quite right, too, yes. And according to this, it's still an offence for a bondsman to swill his thwick in a public fountain.
Oh, I never do.
Here you are. Now, this is the lot. You've got every legal book I could find in the library. Phew. The librarian had a nasty accident when he got this lot off the top shelf. They all fell on him.
Oh, he felt the full weight of the law, eh? It's rather good, then, isn't it? I don't know. Eh, Till? Rather good.
Yes, let's see what Mildred's brought. Oh, here's an autobiography. Called to the Bar by Frederick Arbuthnot. Mildred, this is the memoirs of a publican.
Oh, I just got everything that sounded legal.
So I see. I took soap. Confessions of the Putney Knicker Thief.
The rest of them seem all right, Ron. By the time we've got through this lot, we'll be experts.
Yes. Oh, I'm beginning to look forward to the court case on Tuesday.
Sorry I'm late, man.
Yes, yes, it's all right, too. The judge isn't here yet.
Good. I had a little accident, you see, just outside the courtroom. I dropped these heavy legal books on some fellow's foot. Oh, you should have heard his language.
Yeah. That's probably what they call being sworn in. Yes. Incidentally, what the devil's that on your head?
It's my lawyer's wig. Actually, it's an old Davy Crockett hat, but I dusted it with flour.
Oh, I see. And this is your gown, is it? The old blackout curtain from the map cupboard.
Rather impressive, don't you think?
Well, I have seen it. Oh, wait a minute. The clerk of the court's going to speak.
Be upstanding for Mr. Justice Sittings Hurst. Order, order.
Two pipes, please.
Be seated.
I must apologize if I have kept the court waiting while I had medical attention. Several heavy books were dropped on me foot by some halfwit in fancy dress. Carry on, Mr. Poops.
The case of Tweedy versus the General Assistance Department. Mr. Justice Sittingshurst presiding.
Very well. Who are the counsel in these proceedings?
Smart, m'lad. Appearing for the plaintiff.
Lawrence Brown, m'lad. Appearing for the defendant.
Ah, yes. Ah, yes. Assisted by the butterfingers with the legal books.
Sorry, Your Grace.
M'lad, I'd like to open the case for the defense by giving my summing up to the jury.
This does raise a few trifling legal points, Mr. Lennox Brown. There is no jury. I give the summing up. And in any case, the other side starts first.
Oh, yes. Well, then, I demand permission to treat you as a hostile witness, beloved.
Ah, yes. It's going to be a long and difficult case, I can see.
And that concludes the case for the plaintiff, m'lud.
Lucidly put, Mr. Smart. Despite the constant, trivial objections from the defense.
Objection!
Objection overruled!
Objection! I object to the objection being overruled.
You are being objectionable, aren't you? Now, will you please open the case for the defense?
Oh, very well. Call Vanessa Redgrave.
Call Vanessa Redgrave.
Call Vanessa Redgrave!
She doesn't appear to be present.
Oh, well, it was worth a try. Kathy Kirby about?
You've had your chance, too. I'll take over now.
Lord, on behalf of the defense...
Objection!
Why, they're both of us on the same side. Yes,
no, I'm...
Lord, excuse me. I'd like to draw your attention to a legal precedent. The case of the tattooed astrologer in which Perry Mason clearly showed...
Just a moment. That has nothing to do with this case. Anyway, as Mr. Hamilton Berger pointed out, the parrot had been bribed to give false evidence.
Ah, but Della Street had accidentally duped the birdseed.
It doesn't matter. The entire precedent was reversed the following night in the defenders.
I shall appeal to Edgar Luscombe.
I object, my lad.
Why?
I haven't got a television set.
And so, as we draw towards the end of this unusual case, it is my duty to attempt a summing up. The defense has introduced several unexpected witnesses. experts in model aeroplane flying, mushroom cultivation, and surgical footwear. I shall not allow this to cloud the issue. The plaintiff's barrister has shown great patience, even when the defense introduced a camel into the evidence, for reasons which I still cannot fully comprehend. Now, it is my duty in this case to be absolutely impartial between, on the one hand, the lucid, legally trained, polite Mr. Smart, and on the other, the sly, sensation-seeking, avaricious minions of bureaucracy, Lennox Lemon Brown.
Mr. Smart, something's happened. I must see you.
Good Lord, it's old Tweedy. He's conferring with Smart.
Ah, now's our chance to seize the psychological advantage, man. Let's run for it.
Up to it.
Honor, honor. Now, Mr. Smart, have you something to say?
Millard, my client has found something in his cellar that rather alters the complexion of this case.
And what has he found?
I found the 36 flintlock muskets, Millard, which means Nathaniel never delivered them to the government in the first place.
Well, of course, Mildred, the judge had no alternative but to dismiss the case.
You mean you started out by trying to tax old Tweedy on money he hadn't received for goods he hadn't delivered?
Something like that, yes. Still, Sir Gregory's pleased with us, you know. Yes, when he ignored me on the train this morning, he did it more politely than usual.
And Tweedy's all right. I hear he's auctioned the original muskets at Sotheby's. They're antiques now, so he got quite a lot of money for them. Covered everyone's cost and left himself a nice fat profit.
Yes, everybody's come out quite well, considering. Smart got a lot of publicity out of the case, you know.
He's flying off to Hollywood to organize the divorce of Jar Jar Hutton, the film star.
Jar Jar Hutton, but she's not married at the moment.
Not yet. He's going to organize that first.
Even we, of course, you know, had our moment of triumph in the courtroom.
I got quite carried away.
You certainly did, Mildred. He pulled the judge's wig over his eyes and conducted the public gallery in singing, "We Shall Overcome."
Always did have a sense of humour.
It's a pity the judge didn't. Contempt of court, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, visiting hours are up. We'll try and pop in again next week, too.
Come on, Mildred. I hate the smell of these prisons.
Don't forget the cake with the pile of the shoe.
Creating Law and Disorder as the Men from the Ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Clive Dunn, Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, and John Graham. The program was written by Johnny Mortimer, Brian Cook, and Edward Taylor, and produced by Edward Taylor.